Take your Bibles this morning and turn it to Acts chapter 17, if you will. Last week, we looked at the first nine verses, and we saw Paul in Thessalonica, and we said that he was preaching Christ boldly. This week, I want to look at Paul in Berea, and then in Athens, just looking at him pursuing the Scriptures diligently and proclaiming God clearly. You know, sometimes when you walk into a church or a youth group, I remember when I was a youth pastor and I would preach chapel at the Christian school, I would go in and there were some that would have their pencils out, they'd have their Bibles open, kind of leaning forward, waiting for really the Lord to speak to them through the preaching of His Word. And then I remember very distinctly one year I had three young ladies. They would literally fold their hands and just sit there and almost to say, as if to say, bless me, I dare you. And I will tell you, it is much more, I can't think of the word, it's not just better or enjoyable, but it is really more powerful when somebody is ready to listen to what God has for them, rather than keep God at an arm's distance. By the way, that's what Paul was walking into when he came into Berea. People that were ready, anxious to hear what God had to say to them. Let's look at what it is to pursue the Scriptures diligently. I want you to remember that at this point, Paul had just been run out of Thessalonica, literally chased out by an angry mob for preaching the gospel. But when they stepped into Berea, they were met by a group of people who were refreshingly different. They weren't combative. They didn't keep God's word at arm's length, but instead they were curious. They wanted to hear what God had to say. They were committed. They were committed to truth. You know how you can tell? They were willing to search the Scriptures. I want you to notice, first of all, the noble character of the Bereans. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so." Now, I want you to think about this. When the Bible says that they were more noble, that these Bereans were more noble, it doesn't mean that they were blue-blooded or of some high society. It doesn't mean that they lived in marble halls or had gold jewelry and flouted their nobility wherever they went. The kind of nobility that God recognizes has nothing to do with bank accounts. It has nothing to do with bloodlines. But it has everything to do with the character of somebody's soul. These Bereans had so much of what I believe are lacking in our churches today. My pastor in West Virginia, Pastor Moran, he's with the Lord now, but he said, what we need is some spizzarinctum. You look that word up. It has an idea of having spiritual backbone. God calls them noble, not because of where they came from, but because of how they treated His Word. You know, you can be a fast food employee or the franchise owner. You can be a farm boy or a financier and still be noble in the sight of God. How? So if you have the right kind of character. What did they do? They received the Word with all readiness. I want you to write this down, at least in your heart. The person who makes the most out of God's word is the person who comes in ready. The Bereans didn't drag into the synagogue that morning, their eyes tired, sleepy, their hearts bored with whatever's going on. No, they came attentive, ready, their hearts were warm. And I would say this, their spirits were hungry. Hungry and thirsty for righteousness and for the Word of God. They were eager. They didn't need gimmicks. They didn't need entertainment. They didn't need the flashing lights or the fog machines. They didn't need all the musical nonsense. They just needed the book. That's what they needed. You know, I found all over the world that I've traveled, the Lord's allowed me to be in a lot of places, not all in the ministry, but even when I was in the Navy. But I did find that really there are two types of listeners. There are those that want to hear and those that wish they were somewhere else. God speaks to the one who listens. Have you ever asked yourself, how do I get something from the Bible? How do I get something from God's Word? You see, the key to understanding the Bible is to understand that it's not a comic book, it's not some novel, but it is God's living truth. If you want to change your life, you have to come to the Bible with humility. You have to have an open heart. You have to put your pride aside and say, God, show me who I am, show me who you are, and tell me how I can be more like you. The Bereans weren't like the Thessalonians, who argued with the preacher. No, they received the word with all readiness of mind. That's the kind of heart that brings revival. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to confront the pastor if you say, hey, I don't understand what you said, or I disagree with what you said. Can you show me from God's word? But just to argue for argument's sake, I do have a problem with that. See, the preacher, the pastor, has the responsibility to prepare. I take that responsibility seriously. I'm supposed to have something ready to give to the church, the assembly, when we come together on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and what a privilege it is. But I want to tell you something. The hearer has a responsibility as well. No matter who the preacher is, the hearer has a responsibility to receive it with all readiness of mind. I remember the first time I heard a preacher say this. I think I shared this a few months ago. I was shocked. How dare a preacher say what time I should go to bed? But now that I'm a preacher, I think, why is it somebody's going to stay up till 12, 1, 2 o'clock on Saturday night? Now listen, I know some of you work, some of you may have jobs, and just the fact that you're able to get here on a Wednesday night or a Sunday, I praise the Lord for that, okay? But oftentimes, I remember being on bus routes, and we get in on a Sunday morning, and the kids were all splayed out. Why? Because they weren't getting to bed until 2 or 3 o'clock. No one was helping them to get to bed. And I think that, while I think that's sad, in a home that has no spiritual influence, I think it's tragic when somebody doesn't put themselves to bed in enough time to be able to come to church and hear what God has to say with all readiness of mind. You see, the hearer has a responsibility to be able to be awake enough to hear what God has for them. And so it doesn't matter who the preacher is, how dry the delivery may seem, how hermeneutically lacking the outline might be. I'm just saying we have a responsibility as hearers. The hearer can still receive it with all readiness of mind. You know what the Lord said? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Receive it with the intent to obey it. But not only did they receive the word with all readiness, they searched the scriptures daily. You see, coming to church is excellent. I praise the Lord for each and every one of you that got up this morning and chose to come here. There's other places you could be. There's other things you could do. But you said, you know, I believe the Lord of heaven wants me to worship with other like-minded believers, and you've come this morning. And so I want to commend you for that. I praise the Lord for that. But it's not just on Sundays that you have to get something from the Lord. What about Monday? And Tuesday. Of course, we meet together Wednesday, but then you have a long stretch Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The Bereans didn't say, well, that was a good sermon, Paul. Let us get back to our lives now. No, they went home. They got out their scrolls, and they started thinking and studying and saying, is what he said, is that here in the Bible? Probably the Old Testament scrolls. I'll say this. Lazy Christians don't make it very far in the Christian life. You can't live a victorious Christian life off of Sunday morning leftovers only. And would you like to try to run a marathon with a sip of water? Can't do it. You've got to feed your soul on the Word of God every single day. I like to put it this way. The Bereans, they were spiritual detectives. They had all the information that Paul would give, and they wouldn't just take Paul's word for it. They took God's word for it. I'm going to tell you, I think there was a movement in a time, and I don't want to be critical of previous generations because we're only standing on the shoulders of what the previous generation has done. But if we're not careful, we'll have the attitude that says, because the preacher said it, it must be true. And I hope if I say it, it's true. But if that's all the further it gets in your heart, then the next time you're confronted with somebody else's truth, you're going to fold. You have to be convinced in your own heart that it's true. How do you get convinced in your own heart? I hope it's because you've seen it in God's word for yourself. We can't just have preachers say, believe it because I said. It would be a whole lot easier that way. I wouldn't have to present an argument. I could just read the scripture and just tell you what I think about it. No, I want the Holy Spirit to drive it home into your heart. Then I want you to see it in God's word and to make it your own. Then, when some other doctrine comes along, it's not going to be, well, Pastor Davidson said this. It's going to be, I hope it will be, God has said this. Is this really what God said? They weren't skeptics. They weren't trying to tear down what God had said from Paul's mouth. I believe they were honestly seeking what God had said. You know, there's a difference. One man doubts because he's proud. He says, I know better. Another questions because he's humble. I think most of the time the proud man is looking for a way out of what God has said. But a humble man is looking for a way forward to find out what God wants in his life. We read this. Oh, no, it was a different verse we read in Sunday school. But Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I wonder sometimes if we spend more time scrolling than we do looking at the Word of God, searching on different socials instead of searching out the truth from God's Word. I think we have a generation, a nation of weak Christians. Why? Because we don't spend time in the Word. We're not getting fed from the Word of God. Listen, we wouldn't go a day without eating, but we'll go a week without feeding our soul. I just want to give you a warning. The devil doesn't mind you going to church once a week, as long as you never open your Bible Monday through Saturday. But when you start searching it daily, when the Holy Spirit of God begins to do a work in your life and you become a threat to the plans that Satan has around you, he might wake up and take notice. But so does God. God honored the Bereans, not because they were smart, not because they had some great talent, not because they were anything special, but simply because they were serious about the things of the Lord. They receive the word with all readiness. They search the word of God regularly, daily. And as we'll see in the next verse, God blessed them with fruit. Do you want to be noble in the eyes of God? Then love the word of God. Learn the word of God. And then live the word of God. We see the noble character of the Bereans, but also the fruit. Look at verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. I think when the word is received, God's, with readiness, examined with diligence, is going to bear fruit. It changes people. It leads to faith. Let me ask you this. What kind of fruit is God producing in your life right now? Not some great decision that you made in the past for the Lord, and I praise God for those decisions that are still bearing fruit in your life, but what is He doing in your life right now? When people pursue the Scriptures, lives change. Hearts change. Conviction happens. Real, lasting decisions are made. Notice it says, many believe, just like in Thessalonica. There are honorable women, but here there are men as well who responded. And the Word of God is not restricted or bound by background, by culture, by intellect. It reaches anyone with a humble heart. You have to be willing to humble yourself to come to God in Jesus Christ. You can't say, God, I'll take you on my terms. No, you have to ask Him to take you on His terms. I always like to hear people's testimonies, not only of salvation, but when God had led them to make a decision that helped them in their walk with the Lord. Maybe it's a decision that said, listen, I'm going to be in church whenever the doors are open. That's a big decision. And maybe you can remember in your life when you made that decision. Maybe it was a decision to start giving regularly. I can remember that decision in my Christian life. I really fought against that for a long time. And somebody showed me some verses in the Bible, and I committed. I said, Lord, I'm going to do this. And then He changed my thinking about it to be in line with His thinking on it. I'm just giving some examples. Maybe it's when you said, hey, I'm going to really start trying to share my faith. God's constantly working on us in different areas. I just mentioned a couple. I just threw a couple out. But there are as many different people that are here this morning is God working in different ways to help us to be more conformed to the image of Christ. But He didn't stop working unless we stop looking. He wants fruit in your life, whether it's the fruit of the Spirit or the results of that fruit, working in your life. But notice the opposition. Paul was a magnet to persecution. Wherever he went, so did persecution. Look at verses 13 through 15, if you will. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had acknowledged that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. In verse 15, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. You know, I would have thought that Berea would have been a spiritual oasis compared to Thessalonica when they ran him out of town. It would have been like a vacation compared to Thessalonica. But I want to tell you that the devil doesn't take vacations. Even though many believed, the old enemies came back, and they were looking, the same unbelieving Jews who stirred up trouble before now showed up in Berea, angry. They're trying to manipulate the situation. They are bent on shutting down the gospel. They are actively trying to keep the word of God from going forth to others. And Paul, once again, had to move for his own safety. The brethren sent him away to Athens, while Silas and Timothy stayed behind, trying to strengthen the church that was the new believers that was going to become a church there. I want to encourage you this morning. It's not going to sound like encouragement, but it is. Just because God is working doesn't mean that opposition disappears. Sometimes it intensifies. You say, Pastor, how is that an encouragement? Well, you remember when I said earlier that Satan is not going to bother you when you're not doing anything for the Lord? I don't want to see Satan behind every rock and every bush. I think we cause a lot of our own trouble because of the flesh. But I will say that when you start living for the Lord, when you start doing something for God, I think there is opposition that arises. And when you don't yield to that opposition, it can intensify. But it doesn't mean that God's not there. You know, when I look at the Old Testament saints, people like Noah, God promised to go with them. When it was the three boys, he didn't keep them out of the fire, but he went with them through the fire. And so as you continue to serve the Lord, even when there's opposition, he doesn't say, I'll prevent that opposition from ever reaching you, but he does say, I'll empower you, I'll strengthen you, and I'll help you to get through that opposition. Our enemy hates it when people study God's word on their own. When they begin to grow, he hates it when you're learning. Can you think of a time in your life where in your devotions God gave you a nugget of truth? Maybe it was this week, I don't know, but isn't it exciting when you're reading God's word? And maybe you say, I never saw it that way before. I've read this passage so many times and God is speaking. Now listen, it does not become the word of God because you get something from it. It's always the word of God, but it is so exciting when the Holy Spirit of God illuminates a truth from his word that speaks to your heart. And boy, you could just go for days just thinking about what he gave you in that quiet time. But don't be surprised when there's opposition. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I just want you to know, you don't have to be a Bible college professor or a preacher or a Bible college student to be a student of the Word. God wants you to be a student of the Word. You don't have to be a seminary, to go to seminary to be a Berean. You can just study God's Word. You can just, listen, we are living in a generation that has so many helps. So many helps. Now, I want you to be careful about where you get your helps. Don't just type in something to Google and hope that he's going to help you to grow spiritually. Sorry, I meant to call it the Google. God wants you to have a humble heart and a daily commitment to meet with him and to spend time in his word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What does it say in Psalm 1 verse 2? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Let's be Bereans. Let's pursue the scriptures diligently, not out of duty, but out of delight. You know, the world that we live in today hasn't changed all that much since the days of the Apostle Paul. The clothes have changed. The tools that we use change. But you know the hearts of men? They haven't changed. The human heart is just as dark, just as proud, and just as full of idolatry as it was in Paul's day. You know, we're walking through the book of Acts. We've looked at Paul preaching in Thessalonica. We just spent this morning spending some time looking at Paul preaching the word of God in Berea. But now, I just read this verse saying that they shuttled him to Athens. And when we look at Paul here, he's not sitting down, twiddling his thumbs while the world is burning around him. He's staying busy for the Lord. Although there was persecution in Thessalonica, he said, okay, the Lord is closing the door here, but he's opening it here in Berea. And then the Lord closed the door there in Berea. So he says, I'm not just retiring from ministry, from teaching people the word of God. He said, I'm going to move and keep going forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was on fire for the Lord. You know, when Paul came to Athens, he didn't come as a tourist. He came as a preacher of righteousness. We saw pursuing the scriptures daily. I want you to see proclaiming God clearly. Maybe you're thinking in your mind, even as I was putting this together this week, Pastor, you've really preached a lot on soul winning these last couple of weeks. You've preached a lot on sharing the gospel, on sharing your faith, on telling others about what Christ has done in your life, about telling others about the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a one-string harp or a one-note piano? I tell you, when we look at the book of Acts, you can't help but talk about soul winning, about sharing your faith, about preaching the gospel. Because over and over and over again, we see God using those that were willing to share the gospel to expand his reach in this world. How does that start? It starts when your heart is stirred. Look at verses 16 and 17. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. When he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. His spirit was stirred within him. I mean, statues on every corner, pagan temples on every street. I mean, this was the smartest city in the world, but they didn't have enough sense to know that the true and living God had sent the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. I don't think Paul was so mesmerized by the sights of Athens. No, he was burdened. Paul didn't find a soft chair and get a cup of coffee while watching people go without the gospel. No, in verse 17 it says he disputed. That means he reasoned, he preached, he testified right there in the synagogue. Not only that, in the marketplace. Somebody recently told me they saw a street preacher in Shelby Square. I hope it was the gospel they were preaching. I didn't hear it, but if it was, I praise the Lord. Praise God. There's somebody out there counterbalancing the Jehovah's false witness out there. Paul's willing to talk to anybody who would listen. And I wonder if that's what's missing in our churches today. We've got people stirred up about politics. We have people that are stirred up about sports. We have people that are stirred up all about entertainment. We don't get so stirred up about sin. We're not stirred by souls that are dying without Christ. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I just want you to know, when you're walking with the Lord, when you're walking in the Spirit, I don't think you're ever going to be at home in a world full of idols. I think your heart will be stirred. And be stirred to do something about it. Not only was his heart stirred because he was right with God, his voice was clear because his message was true. Look at verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. The philosophers showed up. The Epicureans, those are the ones that live for pleasure. They are hedonistic. Well, we live in a hedonistic age. Whatever feels good, do it. The Stoics, they say, well, if one end is the Epicureans living for pleasure, then shouldn't we be living for holiness? They weren't living for holiness. They were living for pride. Look at me. I've renounced all comforts of the world so that I can be better than everyone else. Both of them were wrong. Both of them were blind. And what do they both say about Paul? They said, what will this babbler say? That word babbler is a very interesting word. When you study it out, you come to this idea that it carries this idea that he was uneducated, which if you knew anything about Paul's education, he had one of the finest educations in the New Testament there. But they said he's uneducated and he is just kind of stringing secondhand thoughts together to make this presentation. That was their idea. I mean, they were just scraping together all these thoughts. That's what a babbler would do. Almost incoherent. Isn't that the world, though? They think Christians are ignorant. I want to tell you something. We said this in our Sunday school class today. The man who knows God, the woman who knows God, the boy or the girl who knows God is wiser than someone with 10 degrees behind their names who doesn't know God, who doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So what did they do? They brought Paul up to the Areopagus. That was the high court of Athens, the highest place in the city. And they said, we want to hear more about this new doctrine that you have to talk about. Why? Because they were seeking truth? Were they like the Bereans? They wanted to hear more? No. They were addicted to novelty. They just wanted to hear something new and something new and something new. You ever tell a story to a little kid, 5, 6, 7 years old? And you can string a great tale together. You take all the stories you can't remember the ending to and you just put them all together, right? They think that's the greatest story in the world. As soon as you get done, I mean, you haven't even finished taking your breath, they say, tell me another. You can tell them one story after another. They never get tired. They always want to hear something new. That's exactly what was going on here. There's a new philosophy, a new religion, a new doctrine. That's interesting. But they weren't taking it to heart. They weren't hungry for truth. Verse 21 tells us that all they did was sit around and talk about and listen for something new. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new things. Isn't that our generation today? Chasing trends. I mean, half the culture lives on tic-tac. I don't mean the things you throw in your mouth. They're just bouncing one philosophy to another. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, Paul didn't flinch. He didn't apologize. He didn't water it down. He stood up and preached to them right in the middle of Mars Hill. And what did he say? Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. He laid it out straight, didn't he? He didn't pat him on the back. He didn't go looking for seekers. He didn't give out a survey and ask people what they were looking for. He said, you're religious, but you're lost. He started right where they were, but he didn't leave them there, right? He moved forward. He pointed them to the one true God, and he sent and directed them to the Lord Jesus Christ. The world doesn't need another little lecture. It doesn't need somebody coming alongside and patting somebody on the back. It needs heaven-sent, Holy Ghost-filled Christians who will call sin what it is and then preach Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. I'm not saying we have to be ugly about it. That's not what I'm saying. But we try to soft-pedal Christianity so it's palatable to a world that hates Christ. We just need to speak truth, the truth in love, but we need to speak the truth. Paul stood alone on Mars Hill, but he wasn't afraid. Why? Because he knew he had the truth. He had the gospel. It didn't matter if the crowd was full of professors and philosophers. He said, I'm God's man with God's message. And can I tell you, each one of you that are born again, each one of you that claim Christ as your Savior, you are God's man, God's woman, God's boy, God's girl, with God's message. You have a mission. You have a commission. Athens was proud. It was polished. But Athens was perishing without Christ. What about Shelby? What about where we live? We are saturated with religion. But do you really think that our little town is saturated with the gospel? The gospel of Jesus Christ? I don't think so. I think there's a desperate need that is here, right here, not in Cleveland County, right here in Shelby. Are you stirred to tell others about the truth of the gospel? Or have you gotten comfortable in a city that is religious but doesn't know Christ? Well, I pray that God would give us men and women, boys and girls, that are like Paul, stirred at the need of the hour and not silenced by the crowd. Men, women who will walk into their sphere of influence, whether that's the marketplace where they live, and share the gospel of Christ. Are you like the Bereans? Do you receive the word eagerly? Do you search for? Do you search it daily? Do you respond to it personally? I hope that you're receiving the word with all readiness of mind, but receiving it is not enough. Not only do you need to receive the word, you need to be sharing the word. It has to come in, and then it has to go back out. Otherwise, we're like the Dead Sea. Nothing's alive. Are you stirred at the need right here in Shelby? Lives that are immersed in religion, but they have no relationship with Christ. I hope that you've not grown comfortable. I hope that you'll be like Paul and boldly say, "Thus saith the Lord." Be in the word and then be giving out the word. Let's pray together. Out and our eyes closed. Maybe today you'd be here and you need the gospel. You've never trusted Christ. If you were to die today, you don't know where you'd spend eternity. I want you to know we can show you from God's word, from the Bible, how you can know for sure where you'll spend eternity. It's the most important decision you'll make in this life. You say, "Pastor, pray for me. I'm just not sure if I died, if I'd go to heaven." I'd like to go to heaven. I want to know more. I'd like to know how I can know for sure, but I'm just not sure this morning. Would you pray for me? I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call you out, but I'll pray for you in just a moment. Will you just put your hand up so I can see? I need the Lord Jesus. I'm just not sure if I'm going to heaven. Is there anyone at all? And Christians, I just have two questions for you today. It's on Paul's preaching tour. Are you like a Berean? You say, "Pastor, I'm kind of spotty in my time in the Word." Listen, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm so thankful you're here this morning. But if you looked at your life, you'd say, "Pastor, I'm not really in the Word very often. I'm not in it consistently. I'm not comparing what I hear to what the Bible says. I'm not studying it." Maybe you needed this reminder this morning. You say, "Pastor, by God's grace, I'm going to get back into it, or I'm going to get into it. I'm going to ask God to help me to be consistent in my time in the Bible." If that's you this morning, will you just raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to spend time in God's Word consistently. Listen, I encourage you, shoot for every single day. Just like you eat, you spend time in God's Word. But not just reading it and forgetting it, studying it, searching it. Maybe you'd say, "Pastor, I've not been coming with a readiness of mind." And God says, has shown me I need to change some things about my schedule. I need to be ready to hear what God has for me. If that's you this morning, will you let me pray for you? Let me ask you one last question. I asked you about the Bereans, but what about the Athenians? Paul in Athens. I say, "Pastor, if I'm honest with myself, I'm not really sharing the gospel. I know I should." If we're honest with ourselves, we know he gives us opportunities, but we've not been taking them. Maybe today you just need to ask the Lord for the boldness that Paul had. It's the same Holy Spirit. He can give you that boldness today.